Blog Talk Radio.
Talk Radio, and this is Talk to Me, hosted by the one and the only, the most fantabulous, loveliest, wealthiest, and most jubilant sister in the world. That's right. My name is Minister Cherie Humphrey, and I am the founder and president of Diamonds in the Rough, Finding the Spirit in Me, and the producer of A Star is Born Talent Events and Talk to Me Media. Our motto is standing firm on the promises of God. I want to thank everyone who has supported this show for the last 12 years. The last show was the anniversary show, and it was really something else. I can't even explain. I went a little longer on that show than I normally would, but today we're going to keep it to an hour. And bear with me because I got bad allergies and my voice has been going in and out for like 2 months now. So in any case, I'm going to move on with the show. We are talking about what gets you excited on today. And so my guest, who is going to be calling in, he's going to talk about what gets him excited, what makes him happy, what makes him overjoyed. And I have a surprise guest on tonight. So I want everybody to go get you some popcorn, get you a popsicle, whatever you got to do to make yourself comfortable, put your foot up, and just enjoy the show. Tell someone about it. Share, share, share. And also, I want to give a little background on the show, which I have updated and revised because, like I been telling you all along, it's hard to remember who's been on the show, who hasn't been on the show, if you've been doing it for as long as I've been doing it. And I just want to say thank you to everyone that's made it possible, especially the Lord God. My Abba Father, I thank him first and foremost for giving me the mind and following his steps and, you know, obedience in stepping out and doing this show. Because this show and doing Talk to Me Media, what she created in me has opened so many doors. So I just can't even begin to explain. I've interviewed over 400 guests. This should be episode 200, but I did delete a couple episodes. We have over 10,000 in listenership. We reached different social media platforms, the U.S., Canada, Germany, Indonesia, Cameroon, Philippines, India, Ireland, Sweden, South Korea, and Malaysia. And I want to get this part out the way. If you'd like to support me, Diamonds in the Rough, Talk to Me, please do so. Every monetary donation is useful, and I appreciate. You can go to my show page. My Cash App information is there. I've updated the PayPal information as well, so that you may be able to find me easily. And I do want to just say, you know, if you want to buy books, I have 19 published books, 4 are e-books. You can go to my website, Diamonds in the Rough, which is up there, www.ditrfindingthespiritinme.org. And you can go to the book page. You can go to the art page, see what you like, contact me, inbox me, Facebook me, whatever you need to do, and we can go from there to get you the books that you like. And there are many children's books that are up there as well. I do want to say happy birthday before I get into the list of who's graced this show. Now, I might not be able to get through the whole thing because it's long, and I ain't got everybody up there. So I might continue the rest of that at the very end after I have interviewed both of my guests. But I want to give a shout-out to my niece, India. Happy birthday. To my father, Alfonso Humphrey, a.k.a. Fats. He passed away when I was 13 years old. God rest his soul. My great-grandmother, Grandma Susie, God rest her soul too. She raised me for most of my life, I wouldn't be here today if it had not been for her, mainly. All the other people, grandmothers I had in my life that raised me. I can't say no other way. Also to my nephew, Stephen Daniels III, and anyone else that's had a birthday on this month. And first and foremost, happy Mother's Day. Happy belated Mother's Day to anyone who has walked in the shoes of a mother. Because we know that mothers, I want to give a shout out to my mom, Avis Daniels. But we also know there are women that step in as a mother figure, and people who have adopted children, people who have foster kids, godmothers. I have 12 grown godchildren. I don't hear from most of them no more, but they're grown now. And have stepped in as a place of a mother figure and help to assist in the rearing of children. In some type of way. So that could be an aunt, that could be a grandmother, it could be, you know, like I said, adopted mother, foster care mother, and your birth mother. So shout out to everyone. Also, if you have lost a loved one on this month, and since the last show, I want to send my condolences to you and to let you know my heart goes out to you. Thank God I don't have anyone that is very close to me. But I do have a cousin who lost his wife, now that I'm thinking about it. And I want to give my cousin a shout out, you know, send my condolences to him to the family. I don't even remember her name, but I think I maybe met her maybe once or twice. But I know that she was loved by him and many family members. So I want to send condolences out to them as well. This month was special for me because on May 4th, I performed at the Metric. Jackson gives the comedy show there again, and I was asked to be on the show. And actually, it was Juan Kuhn and Mika Jean who pushed me, really put the idea in my spirit to even want to perform again because I've been doing comedy since 2001. But I have a unique style of doing it. It's not exactly stand-up. It is acting, comic acting. And I do sketches. So you can go online, go to my YouTube under Sheree Humphrey. You can see some some sketches that I have done. I performed at Apostle Dinsmore's 60th birthday celebration. That was beautiful. Mika Jean invited me as her guest to perform, and it was just beautiful. I can't describe it no other way. So I'm happy to have Wasan Jackson, who will be calling in as my first caller on this evening. So let me get into the scriptures real quick before I start reading a little bit of this list. If I can get it up here quick enough, I'm just going to read a couple, not going to read a lot, but we're talking about what gets you excited. Think about it. What are some of the things that have made you happy and overjoyed and just jubilant on this year so far, or something that sticks out in your life? Ecclesiastes 3:12-13 says, I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. And so basically that's saying to me, toil, work, all that you've done, you know, all that you have aspired to do and be, and to take pleasure in that, you know, and celebrate yourself. Sometimes we don't celebrate ourselves enough. And I know I'm definitely one of those who's hard on me more than anybody else. So take delight in yourself sometime. Give yourself a pat on the back sometime. John 14:1 says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. John 16:24 says, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. And so I'm going to stop it right there because I know he's going to be calling in soon, God willing. And we can start to hear what he has done in his life and all that he has accomplished. And so people who have graced this show, I think I'm going to start at the bottom and work my way backward. Talk to Me Media, I started many years ago, and that door opened. My cousin Alan from Chocolate City News asked me when I was doing the Apollo to write for him. And I began doing that, and I began, you know, writing as a reporter, and then I started writing for myself, which I coined Talk to Me. And so I interviewed Vicki Winans, Pastor Shirley Caesar, Donnie McClurklin, Mighty Clouds of Joy, Jennifer Holliday, Damian Marley, Little John, Sierra, Little Bo, Elephant Man, Terry Crews, Mary Mary, and many more. Doing a column and many other forms of writing. And let me go backwards now. Other people I've interviewed on this show in the past 12 years has been Matt Jones, Doremus Williams, Brian DeCauzy, Ernell Grant, Anthony E. Brown Jr., David Davis, Jeanette Zachs, Lisa Mellers, James Fountain, Lamar Taylor, Connie Johnson, Gina Blaze, Denzel Williams, Michael Jones, Ernest Richards, Jamaica Morrison, Dr. Jamal Bryant, Robert Williams of Blue Magic, I believe, Jennifer Armstead, Amari Daniel Bay, Kaylin Jackman, Spencer Camp, Pamela Wright, Elvis Yvonne Gaskew, Frank E. Brady, oh boy, Robbie Jenkins, Greg Hill of the Delphonics, Tamar Jerome Pierre, Lachey Nicole, Big T, Matthew Kirkwood, John Lawson, Bobby Ramos, Candace Rena, Tyrone Dunmore, Herb Boyd Jr., Dwight Lamar, Jason V. Watts, Travis Sims, Dave Farrell, Songbird, Lyle Hassan Jones, Sierra Clark, Steve Wallace, Rasheen Dixon of WIBC, Jerry Green of WIBC, Kent Barrett of WNHU, Lou Humphrey of BSE Recordings, my cousin, Felicia Cunningham, Odelia, Sheila McCoy, Lauren G., author M.L. Brooks, Don Nottingham of the Stylistics, Midnight, Deborah Williams, Coffee Goring, J. Trini Goring, Ricky Allen Drawn, Misconduct, Jay the Comedian, Phoenix Fire, Omar Wilson, Tiffany Tizell, Kiki West, Rashawn Langley, A. Curtis Farrell, Darren Cookie Moore, Judah Seeley, Keisha Rainey, Riff, A. Curtis Farrell, Janice Dempsey, FSW, Gerald Kelly, J. Alexander, Capone, Drew Frazier, J.P. Justice, Howie Bell, Hope Flood, Mika Jean. And I'm going to continue the rest of this list if I have time before the interviews start or at the very end of the show. Right now, I'm going to play, this guy is going to be coming on soon, King the Barber, he calls himself, or King Mafioso or something like that, I believe. And this is his song called Mama. So I figured I'd play it in this month because of Mother's Day. So I hope you enjoy it, and I'm going to try to play it in its entirety.
You know, I prayed one day
everything's in life
God would save a place
your
for me in heaven.
What the streets
teach. I wanna go and be with my mom.
Mama,
no one
knows word.
Before the end of the show, if there is time, but I have my caller calling in right now, so I am going to plug him in. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, Cerie, how you doing?
I could be better. My voice is trying to leave me, but I'm going to hold out, hopefully, to the end of the show.
Yep. Oh, right.
But, how you doing today, Jackson?
I'm doing good. I just got off work.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. And I just wanted, you know, you to come on this show because you have been doing a great job with doing the comedy down at the Metric. And, you know, I just met you basically when you started doing that. Was introduced to you, and I enjoy it so much that I try to be there every week because I love it so much.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And I thank you for coming too.
Yes. But you have been doing comedy for 2 decades. So tell the audience that don't know you, maybe, you know, who you are, you know, like, when did you get started?
Well, I got started back in 2003, and I was on public access, just messing around with the microphone and pretending I was a comedian. And one of the producers said, "Hey, man, you look like you could really do that thing there." And then
right.
I tried it out, and I never put the mic down.
Wow! Wow. So did you ever do comedy when you were little, like growing up?
No, but I was always a class clown.
Exactly.
You know,
that's what I mean.
I was always the one. Yeah, I was always in the one in the kids in the class always messing around, you know.
Right.
And then I guess, you know, in life it just kind of morphed into, you know, doing it professionally.
Right. And so were you ever afraid when you first started out to, like, do it, you know, in a professional way, to, you know, besides the public assets, did, you know, was there any reluctance to do that?
No, I went full steam ahead. Once I realized that I was kind of good at it, I just was striving to be better. And, you know, and so many things that it brought me, I mean, so many, you know, opportunities came my way from it. I was able to go to California. I was able to go overseas, you know, and I always wanted to go to California when I was little. I just didn't know how I was going to get there. And comedy brought me there.
Wow. Isn't that something? I want to go to Cali too. I want to live there, in fact. But, you know, so did you have like a mentor in the beginning, or you just went on your gut? You just was like, you know what? I'm trying this. I like it. Seem to be pretty good. Was there ever somebody that stepped into your life and was like, you know what? Let me help you. I see something in you.
Yeah, many on many different levels. Like, you know, you got guys who do what I do right now with the every Wednesdays at Metric. They would host their own room, you know, in whatever town. And there were some guys who were respected, and they would, you know, let me headline their room. They would let me go a couple more minutes than the others. You know, they would do stuff like that to kind of like show nod to me that they respect, you know what I'm saying, and they just want to help out and me getting better. You know what I'm saying? I went on a roll with some people, you know, that's kind of like them telling me that I'm funny and come on the road.
Right.
So stuff like that I would get.
Is there any experience from, like, the beginning stages of your comedy that stands out the most for you?
Yeah. Like, I did a Apollo in 2007. I was 27 years old. And,
wow.
You know, every time when you watch the Apollo, you know, you remember back in the days you watched the Apollo, comedians always getting booed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I was going to get booed, you know. I was very nervous, but I actually got through it, and that was like one of the moments that stood out a lot in my career.
And, you know, it's always, you know, for people up here, like near New York, that's one of the stages that you must grace, you know, it seems to be in any genre of entertainment, whether it's singing, or like you said, the comedy, you know, other areas. Most people who have accomplished a lot in their life or going somewhere, you know, they got their stardom, you know, by doing the Apollo. And I can relate. I've been on the Apollo twice. And so, you know, it's a surreal experience. Now, tell me, you remember that lady that used to be in the front row with the curly hair? And she used to jump up and run to the stage? Remember her? Was she there when you performed?
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
I don't remember.
Okay. But you got to rub the tree, right?
I got to rub the tree log. Uh-huh.
Yes. And you
I
know what?
Out on the same stage.
Yeah, because that is like, you know, rubbing that tree is like, it means something. It's like you touching the famous greats that have graced that stage when it's like back in the day, you know, like Michael Jackson and, you know, all them people that performed at the Apollo. So I know for me, it was like, wow, You know, that means I'm on another level now, you know. So how did that feel for you?
Yeah, I thought about that as well. I was like, you know, this is what all the greats perform, you know, the Jackie Robinsons, the Michael Jacksons, and, you know, so on. And I was kind of like cooped up by that too.
Yeah.
I felt like, you know, even if I get booed, you know, it would be like, well, at least I performed on, you know. It was kind of like those kind of thoughts at first. But then I was just like, nah, you know, I got to do good. Because, you know, you didn't make it this far to get booed. So, you know, you really got to do good. So, and I did.
Yeah.
You can check that out on my YouTube page, Comedian Jackson.
Oh, you still got it up there?
And it's on my page, the performance.
Wow. Okay. I got to look at that. That's great. And so what other places, you know, that you perform, big venues that might have, you know, made an impact on your career?
Everything, every stage makes an impact. Because, you know, you have different audiences, you go different places, and it all counts, you know what I'm saying? It all adds to the growth of what kind of comedian you're going to be. So I would say every stage.
Wow. And that's humble of you, because me, having performed many, many times with spoken word and singing and all that, been on BET, whatever, the experience for me is when I was in front of 20,000 or more people, because that was terrifying for me. So that stood out in my mind, and I will never forget it.
Right.
Even though I won, it was terrifying. So what do you think hurdles that you climbed over and that you, you know, pushed through when you were doing your comedy in the beginning?
I feel like the biggest one was like just gaining the acceptance of the audience that I'm funny. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
It's like you're trying so hard to win over these audiences, people in the audiences with your humor. And when you're new, that doesn't happen on a consistent basis. You might get your good shows here, good shows there. But the more you do it, you know, the sharper you become, and you can change that average. So I think back now,
right?
Like back then, it was just like that was a hurdle to get over.
Yes, and I could understand that, because, you know, I performing for you, that was my very first show. I mean, that I had done in front of people besides online because of the COVID. So it had been quite some time from doing comedy. And so that right there was definitely something that was nerve-wracking. I had to practice. I had to do my best. I felt like this was my peers. These were people that knew me. And if they like you, because sometimes people that know you could be harder on you than people that are strangers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and so it's like, you know, if you can win over people that see you around the way, you know that, you know, you're on to something, that, you know, this, maybe this is something that you can continue pursue, because they're going to tell you the raw, hard truth.
Right. And don't get it.
They're not going
to tell you the raw, hard truth, too.
Yeah, that's true, because last Wednesday was crazy. At the show, not about you, but Lord have mercy, that night was real ghetto.
That's right. So I make out to Metric every Wednesday at 9 o'clock comedy.
Yes, and it was so funny though. But, you know, to me, you're always funny. You're the host, and I think that, you know, when you're the host, you have kind of the hardest job, because if the audience is feeling low or they're just not engaged, it's kind of hard to grab their attention. What do you think?
Yeah, I think when you go first onto a cold audience, it's very challenging. That, you know, but once you get going, get the groove going, you'll be all right. And then if you mess up with the first, you know, the first time around, don't forget you get to go back up again as a comedian and kind of make up for it. So
right.
Yeah.
And so do you see this as something that you want to do for the rest of your life? Okay.
Until I don't have to do it anymore.
Right. I hear you. So you love it. And that's a good thing, that you can do what you love, you know, because many people don't get to do what they love. And they walk through life, hating their job, hating just to wake up in the morning because they're not being fulfilled in any area of their life. And that's a terrible place to be in, you know. And so our topic tonight is what gets you excited. Can you think of anything? It doesn't have to be recent. It could have been something, you know, from back in the day. What gets you excited, you know, the most, happy, overjoyed, or whatever?
I'm just a happy person. You know, everything make me happy.
Everything?
I just love life. I love everything.
Okay. All right.
I'm a happy individual.
Right. But I know there's got to be some things that get you upset now, you know, because that's a misconception. You know, when you look at these comedians on TV, people like Martin that, you know, was on for many seasons and, you know, what is it, Kevin Hart. And, you know, my favorite's Earthquake. That Earthquake and Lavelle is like two of my top. And Darnell, Ashy Larry. And you think, you know, they're funny, hilarious what they're doing on stage and on TV. But at home, you know, you're not always walking around giggling and laughing all day and all night. You know, that's not reality. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
that's
do
why,
you think that
people –
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, you're right. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, because some people think, oh, well, they're a comedian. They love making people laugh. But you go home, you're not always sitting around laughing like a crazy nut all night long every day, you know. So it's like, you know, how do you separate the two from when you need to be serious and people – just want you to be funny all the
time? Yeah, I mean, you know, that's gonna be how it is. You know, people know you for doing that. They want to see you do that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Comedy doesn't, you don't need a suit on to do comedy. It's like your regular Joe when you grab the microphone. So when people see you outside, you know, they just see, you know, the same person they see on stage or on TV. Just regular. You know, like a basketball player might wear a uniform, so when they see him out of uniform, they don't expect, you know what I'm saying, to play basketball or shoot a jump shot right there. But if they see him in the uniform with a basketball in their hand, they're going to probably be like, you know, let me see you shoot it or let me, you know, do something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But with a comedian, mm-hmm. it's like that all the time. Every time they see us, it's always make a joke, because we're always in a uniform.
Right. And see, it's different for me because I'm multifaceted. You know, I've always been that way since I was young. But I was the class clown. I got in trouble a lot for disrupting the class all the time. That was elementary, middle, and high school. So, you know, and at home, I was a fool. You know, I always was telling jokes and capping on my mother and different people, especially at family gatherings. And so my friends, you know, when I'm, you know, I'm like, come over. You got to critique me. And they're like, Sheree, just be yourself. Be you. You know, that's who you are. You funny. But, you know, you don't always think that people want to see what you're doing at home. on the stage? Because it might, you know what I'm saying? How do you, like, distinguish the two, like, separate the two, or should you?
It's no different than when you have to go to work. You know, you don't bring your, you know, you don't bring your outside, whatever you do, to work. You know, work is work and home is home. So that's pretty much how I separate that.
Okay. Okay. Yes, that's basically what I think, too. And it makes sense. But, you know, sometimes it gets a little bit annoying when people want you to be telling jokes all the time. And you're like, I'm not in the mood. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to tell a joke right now. You know what I'm saying? You know, especially when it comes to business, I'm serious about what I do. I've been Diamonds in the Rough is my child. I've been doing this since 2001. And made it a sole proprietorship in 2002 and started doing arts and entertainment, working with survivors of abuse. I've tried to, you know, what do you call that, better myself, educate myself so that I can help somebody else. And that's always been my thing. You know, I want to learn. I want to grow. I don't want to stay who I was 20 years ago. You know, and so everything to me ain't funny, you know, and sometimes I get upset because sometimes my friends are like, come on, you know, and I'm like, no, I don't feel like it, you know. So do you ever, like, go through that or experience anything like that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I have, you know. I just probably can't recall the, you know, the exact details of the time, but that sounds like something that most of us probably been through.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm getting the call right now. I gotta get this call.
Okay. Well, I thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it. And it's about 7:06 anyway. So, Jackson, thank you, and hopefully I'll see you this week.
Yes, you will.
Okay.
Thank you very much for having
me. Okay. Okay. All right. Bye bye. There you have it. That was Wasan Jackson. You can come down to the Metric in Bridgeport, Connecticut. And on Wednesdays, the show starts at 9 o'clock. I'm usually never disappointed, and I'm there almost every week. Thanks to, you know, Jackson and DJ Juan Kuhn, who's there on the turntable. And sometimes he has another DJ that's with him that is doing it too on Wednesdays. So come out. It's just been hilarious. And last Wednesday, you had to be in the room because it was ridiculous. So the audience were the comedians last week, for real. But I have my next surprise guest that is called in, but I'm going to play a little bit of Every Day by Darwin Hobbs. So I don't play gospel music all the time, so I'm going to play a little bit of this.
Moving.
have it. That was Darwin Hobbs, Every Day. I love that song. When I'm feeling down, that song gets me pumped up, for real. You are listening to Talk to Me Radio. My name is Minister Sheree Humphrey of Diamonds in the Rough. Go back and listen to the beginning of the show if you missed anything. But I do want to say just real quick some of the other people who have graced this show: Melba Moore, C.C. Pennison, J.J. Harrison, Christopher Williams, Bernard Jackson of Surface, Doobie Powell, Curtis Blow, Stacy Gladysaw Jackson, Glenn Jones, the Green Violinist, Tony Redd, Darren Cookie Moore, Calvin Richardson, Wendell B., J.D. Lawrence, Marcel Lashley Davies, Richmond Punch, Carmichael, the Music Lover. And I will read more when near the closing of the show, because I can't do that right now. My surprise guest has called in, so I'm going to plug her in right now. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Okay, hello, everybody.
Thank you for having me.
Everybody, this is the beautiful and gorgeous A-plus Hollywood of Hartford, Connecticut. She called in and, you know, as a surprise guest on tonight, I had someone else scheduled that could not make it at the last minute, tied up at the airport and boarding at the time that he was supposed to be calling in. So I have A-plus Hollywood on the line, and she's a comedian and entrepreneur. She owns her own business. Just tell us a little bit about you real quick.
Hi, good evening, everybody that's listening and who have tuned in to the show with Ms. Minister Sheree Humphrey. My name is A-plus Hollywood, and as she stated, I am a piece of the comedy world. However, I do not like to just box myself into that one particular talent. I like to say that I'm an entertainer, true indeed. I started out modeling and doing hair shows like 21 years ago, and then
wow.
I started to do stage plays. And then from the stage plays 11 years ago, I became a stand-up comic. And I'm going to tell you right now, after 11 years, I am still asking God to show me exactly what is all this.
Exactly. I can relate and understand. Yes. And I met you for the first time when Mika Jean was hosting Misconduct's birthday party in Bloomfield this month. And I really enjoyed you. I always enjoyed Mika. Mm-hmm. Mika's been on my show so many times. I mean,
shout
many years ago. Yeah. So, you know, when she said that, you know, you and her were working together, and now she, you know, has kind of let me come into the fold, you know, is just been a true blessing. And, you know, I said, if you're chilling with her, you're good people, because I trust her. So, yes. So, but, yeah, you evolve. Did you ever think in the beginning you was going to be a comedian when you first started out doing hair shows and fashion?
Absolutely not. Ever since a young girl, the age of 8, stepping off of the church bus, I remember the minister asking me what it was I wanted to be when I grew up. And I said, I want to be a lawyer or an actress. And God has such a sense of humor.
Yes, he does.
In my existence, became a paralegal, actor, model, host, writer. like, you know, and he's just like, oh, my gosh. And then I've never asked to be a comedian. And it was something
right.
that happened. I've always been somebody who loves to make people happy, love
yes.
to see them smiling. I yep. never want no one heart to be hurt. I never want to see pain. I never want to see tears unless they're happy tears. So I was always the person who would be that clown, who would take one for the team just to see
yep.
somebody smile. And
yes.
since a little girl, They always say, you so animated, you so funny, you need to be a comedian. I said, nobody gonna be no comedian. Like, how dare you just get up there and think you're that funny and have individuals label you something as great as Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy, Red Fox.
Right.
You know,
right.
It goes back. And to take that title, I say, and I shut them down fast. Don't you do that, Gary.
Right.
I am an entertainer.
Yes. Yes.
And I never imagined in 1,000 years being something that somebody is wishing to be to this day. I don't take, I don't take granted. I don't take it for granted. And
mm-hmm.
I am, like, really, really so overjoyed with the amount of supporters that I do have in my life, the fans that push you to be better than what you expect yourself to be or you think of yourself. And
right.
just having a whole different type of following of people with genuine love for you is overwhelming. And it's like, wow, is this what these people feel when you're the color in their life? Is this what people feel
yes.
when you add to them? And
right.
if there's anything I've learned in this game is that, you know, a lot of people, you know, they're competing to challenge one another, and it's a crafted art. But it's an art that has, and a skill that has to come, you know, you had to been born with it. It's a talent that
right.
is like God-given. You understand it?
Absolutely.
Only a few chosen ones will be able to take the journey and say they succeeded at being that. After 11 years in the game and the opportunity to go to Manhattan School of Comedy after my 9th open mic, not knowing what God was doing and why I was doing this, and then realizing what the art of comedy is, I said, oh, okay, thank you. But, you know, you think you're ready for the lights, camera, and action and the fame, but it's a lot of work.
It sure is.
And you can't
it sure
just get
is.
Up on that stage and become this candlelight thing overnight. You
That's
got
right.
to put work in. And,
yes.
And I don't even work as hard as those comedians out there that I salute, I applaud, that stay up for days and nights on the road, on shows, to feed their family, to go for the hunger because they love the art of comedy. People just want
yes.
to do it because they think it's a game fans and they can see the cameras go off and you get a crowd. No, it's so much more. It's something different. I just want to share life and laughter and love all across the world. So for me, it's
and you know
a
what?
Piece of my
you need to be in radio too. Because you have a gift of gab, and that's what you need. You need to be able to relate to people. You need to be able to have the compassion and to want to see people, like you said, happy or bring some encouragement and some love where there is none, because you never know who's listening. You know, I get amazed all the time. When I first, like I told people all the time, I was terrified. Anytime I started anything, my first spoken word in show, I hid in the closet at the church. And to go from that to being in front of 20,000 people and winning awards left and right was nobody but God, because I didn't even like people. I didn't even like adults and never liked public speaking, you know. You know, doing comedy for your family in the living room is different than doing it on the stage in front of a bunch of people. You know, that's two different things, you know. And I agree with you. I agree with you when you said
you
have
that.
To have it.
It's funny that you say that, though, not cutting you off. You say it's different being in your living room.
Yes.
And the funny thing is, 11 years ago, that's exactly where I started off. I finally called up my cousin, and I said, hey, I'm going to do a comedy show at my house. She said, girl, shut up. I said, I'm serious. Call people up and tell them to come. No lies. About 22 family and friends came over to my house, and we all pulled up all type of seating in my living room, and I did 45 minutes stand up. Uncontrollable laughter.
I'm sure.
So uncensored and unfiltered. I that day stated that Richard Pryor was my grandfather forever.
Wow. Isn't that something? And you know, when you said that when you were 8 years old, you were asked what you wanted to be, and I believe that we are our purest when we are little, when we're babies. And the teacher asks you or whoever, what you want to be when you grow up. I believe that God already put it there. We just gotta pull it out. You know, He already knows. You know what I'm saying? And we do evolve. We go through seasons. We go through stages. And people want to put you in a box. And I tell people, I'm not one thing. I am multi-talented. I do art. I'm an author. I do journalism and didn't even have any journalism, you know, background. So God, you know, if He puts it in you, it's already there and it's going to be used for something. You know, you got paralegal experience. You got all of these different entertaining skills. And you never know, you might end up being an entertainment lawyer on the side for somebody, you know, or looking over paper contracts so people won't get, you know, fucking cheated. Excuse my language.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Civil rights activists at the finest. You better know it.
Okay. For real. You know.
I got my sense in the air.
Okay. You know, and so, you know, I believe that you did the acting, you know, which I could relate to because I put on plays, was in a movie, did a lot of acting, more so than comedy. And so I believe all those things in that melting pot is for something greater than who we are. And if, like God said, He give you 10 talents, and 10 things, you use them all, He's going to double that. He's going to create even more in you. And
come on
so,
now, minister. You about to have church up on this radio.
Okay, I ain't even trying. I'm like, wait a minute,
listen,
stop. I wasn't
even. Listen, it's moving. You got to go somewhere.
Okay, like, wait a minute. But tell me, what gets you excited? What gets you excited? That's the topic for tonight.
Life.
Mm-hmm.
Experiences. Family. My career.
Okay.
You know?
And
excitement.
What can you say? Is there anything that happened on maybe this year that stands out for you?
Oh, man, after about to be 11 years, I was 10 months and about a week before my 11th year in the comedy game. And shout out to Tyrone Burston, Hartford native, moved to North Carolina, Charlotte, doing it real big. He on tour with Adele. Everywhere she goes, he opens up for her. He came back home this last month and had me bring him out. And the headliner for that night, for the first time ever at Mohegan Sun, I felt like, wow.
What?
After 10 years, like, I finally get to touch the casino crowd. Like, that was a
okay.
major milestone for this
yes,
year.
Yes, it
you
is.
Know, in my game, in my career. So, yeah.
Yes, it is. That is, you know, and that's what I meant by in the beginning of the show when I was saying sometimes we are so hard on ourselves. We need to applaud ourselves sometimes. We need to, you know, appreciate where we have grown because, you know, like I said, you know, things evolved. And, you know, once you're working at what you do, you become better. And so you need to, you know, just give yourself some credit sometime. Just celebrate yourself sometime, you know.
That's right.
Without expecting everybody else to do it, you got to know that you got something that's good, something inside of you that is something for the world to see. Even if you don't know what it is, if you keep working at something, you're going to find it.
Oh, I believe that. Absolutely, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yes. And so tell us some other places that you have graced the stage at in your career.
Oh, man. God bless Ezell, as y'all know him. his real name was Michael, if I'm not mistaken. Ezell
okay.
and I was friends on Instagram prior to him passing on. It was years, you know, for a while. And I first met him at a show that took place out in New Haven. And Jackson, I believe, was actually on that show as well. Jackson and another local artist, and they had the show out there. I met him then. Long story short, we stayed in contact, and he was my friend. And they had NAACP.
Put
that down in North Carolina.
Everywhere. It's everywhere.
You know what I'm talking about. Okay, so it's down in North Carolina, Charlotte, every year. NAACP, whatever it was, right? He had his manager.
NAACP. Black people have an issue with this.
But it's not an NAACP, though. It's not the NAACP, though. It's NAACC, right?
For what?
Someone's got to call in. We got to get another caller. Callers in. Someone knows the answer. Anywho, it was that awesome event that takes place in North Carolina, Charlotte, every year. And Ezell was performing at the Laugh Factory. And he got his manager to get me to open up. And I got to get on there with Smokey and with the other new artist, Nick Cannon. He used to be on Wildin' Out. I forget the
name.
Yeah,
I know Nick. Yeah, Nick Cannon. Wildin'
Out.
Mariah Carey.
Yes, I had the opportunity to perform at the Laugh Factory, and Ezell put me on that show. So shout out to him. May he rest in peace. That was something I could put in my archives along my route in this journey. And I could say that my gig to do something that major at such a major event for individuals was put on by somebody so popular that we all looked up to. And that, hey, when it's all said and done, regardless of what he may have done in his life, we have to still give him his props because he was where a lot of people didn't even get to even try.
Right.
So,
right. And I don't know who he is, but I do know who Smokey is and Nick Cannon. So, you know, but I trust, of course, that you know what you're talking about. I don't know him.
Oh,
but you're schooling
me
right now.
Yes.
You schooling me, so you know, but yeah, you go. I've been so many places in my time in life. I don't remember half the
stuff. His real name is AJ Johnson. He's the actor that played Smokey. Ezell. That's not his real name. It's AJ Johnson.
Oh,
AJ
that's
Johnson.
Right. I know who you're talking about
Johnson.
Now. From
so let me get my facts together.
From Friday.
I know how to articulate. That's right.
Yes, from the movie Friday. Okay.
Friday.
There okay.
He had his manager contact me and give me a shot to perform down there that weekend where he performed at the Laugh Factory.
That's a blessing. Wow.
Yes,
he was funny. That was a crazy little dude, man. I loved his part. And that's what I, you know, love about it because, you know, comedians are, you can be funny, but you can also evolve into having comedy on, you know, an acting career. I mean, it's not just one thing. And, you know, don't allow no one to put you in a box. I don't care how old you get. You know, people like to do that a lot, and they try to stifle you. But be who you are. Be your best. Be your beautiful self that you know you are. When you be putting up them little short videos since we befriended each other, I be cracking up because you always, like, it be serious, and then you just bust out of nowhere with some craziness. I'm like, no, she didn't.
That's me making you smile. I get my job. As long as you happy and you smile.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Because like I was telling Jackson, all my life, since I was a little kid, I would tell jokes. And it started for me because I didn't want to get my behind whooped because I was bad. So anytime my grandmother would want to have us in the line in the kitchen, pull our pants down and whoop our behinds, I would just start breaking out in a little comedy, little sketch right there, just making anything up so I can make her laugh and she can forget about me.
That was very smart. Very smart.
Okay, and it worked. It worked sometimes. And I remember one time doing it in the kitchen for Thanksgiving, and I didn't even realize my grandmother was trying to sit down, my mother's mother, and she was a heavy woman, heavy, light woman, always laughing herself. And I said, "Grandma, look, I'm going to show you something." I yanked that chair, and she fell right on the floor. I started crying. I mean, my world was crushed right then. I'll never forget it. You know, but it's strange how you remember certain things, you know, that made an impact on you as a little kid, you know. Where do you see yourself? Yes, absolutely. Where do you see yourself, you know, going? You know, what are some of the things you'd like to do?
Oh, hands down, I'm waiting on God to finish doing whatever he got going on with my life here. And while he's, you know, handling his business, I'm going to just continue to go back to school and work on getting my bachelor's so I can transfer him over to this law school, because I've always wanted to be a lawyer and an actress. I became a paralegal and everything else that came with that life. And I'm living my dream partially. My dream is fulfillment of being that lawyer. And, yes, I am going to work on it. It take another 7 years. If for my 50th birthday, I want my law degree. So if that's enough to let you know, that's what I'm going to be doing in the books. I'm going to still pop out. I'll still be doing my shows. And I'll still be weird. You know, God's going to call me to be at. But in the meantime and in between them times, I'm going to be working on that degree because I got to get it.
I know that's right.
I'm 42, and I need that. I have children. They're succeeding. They're my greatest rewards. They're in their own celebrity world, even to me. I'm their favorite fan. But with that being said, I'm trying to have a mission to really complete. So I don't know what God's doing, but he be working on me. He working on all of us.
Okay. He sure is. Because ain't nobody arrived.
Listen,
for real, I'm still, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?
God got the greatest. God's the biggest comedian. He's the funniest alive, and nobody else.
You are so right.
Only a few see. God got the best sense of humor. He'll show you what he's telling you.
Yes.
He's fine. Oh, he's real fine.
For real.
Like, come on,
you know what?
Listen.
Yes. You know what, A Plus Hollywood? Nobody else has ever said that. And I tell people that all the time. And I say, you know, he's the director. He's the author. He is my producer. And he is definitely, like you said, the funny. He got jokes.
He got father jokes. He will show it to you. Give you. Listen, God's so real. He'll bring you to a situation, have you go through the situation, but he'll hold you. He will show you, though. And just because you wanted what you shouldn't have had, he'll let you get it. Even if you got to bump your head, fall, get back up, and get tried all over again. He'll hold on to you if you just got to, if you're believing. But in that walk, God will show you so many things that all you can do is laugh and learn and gain and grow.
Absolutely. I totally agree, 100%. You couldn't have said it better. And that is the truth, God's honest truth. I remember when I was little, you know, it was a different time period. I'm 51. And I told my mother, I said, I want to be a teacher, a singer. I want to be an actress and a cowgirl. And I wanted to be a doctor. So she told me, she didn't tell me I couldn't be a cowgirl. But she told me I couldn't be a doctor. So, it was a different time period. You know, like I said, back then, you know, in the area, in the world that, you know, my family was in, they never seen nobody, you know, in close proximity graduate college or you know, do the things that God has allowed me to do. So I know that I've been a leader in that aspect in my family. Good and bad, because I had to do some crazy wild stuff to get to the point. And I thought God made a mistake. What, me? Going in the ministry, you must be crazy. This don't make no sense. I'm trying to get my agent right now for acting. I don't think so. God, you made a mistake. And you know, and so one thing I want to do, A+, is get my doctorate. And that is something that I need to accomplish outside of entertainment. So I understand what you're saying. Do what you got to do, because you might be my lawyer, for real.
Listen, and with all due respect, we always got to have a plan B. And for me, I would say plan B is my current career, of which I go to each and every day. Plan A is everything else that I've always ever wanted to be. Those are my hopes of becoming that. That's plan A. But you got to get your plan B. And plan B is substantiated by that of which you instill in yourself to see in long in the future for longevity. We got to set it up now, well, I do, to make sure that I'm standing on still 10 toes in 20 years. With the way the world's going, you need something, even the jobs that we are desiring to have, and there's like, oh, so much money to us now, it's going to be a thing of the past in years to come. That also much amount of money ain't gonna be anything in a few years. And so just imagine all those who were left behind that didn't jump on that wave to obtain what they needed to succeed further in life, and not just, you know, throw all their eggs in one basket for plan A. Plan A gonna work out, but plan B is what everyone misses. Plan B, get that right. If that's your education and that's the least you do, let it be plan. Let plan B be successful. Let plan B still bring you joy. Let plan B still be everything that you could have imagined being.
Right. And that's so true. And I agree with you, too. You got a lot of wisdom. And, you know, my plan A was, I'm going to be everything that everybody else in was not. I'm going to be successful. I'm going to go to college, do what I got to do. Even though I didn't think I'd ever go to college, I went. I got my master's now. And I thought that would set me, have me set. But God had jokes. And it wasn't. I see people far exceed me that never went to school a day in their life.
Come on, tell it again, because they're not hearing you, although we're speaking on both of them. Yes, it's the truth, and it's the truth.
Yeah, man. And because what he put in you is where you're going to find it. And that may not be what you're thinking or somebody telling you to do, because this career is financially lucrative. So I always tell people now, my kids and my family, that little phase, and I don't know what I want to do, and they're going to college and stuff. I said, look, do what you love, because at the end of the day, you don't want to go through life being miserable. I don't care how much money you're making. You don't want to be miserable, because you're going to always come back to what you love, because that's your true being. That's who you're supposed to be in the first place. You know what I mean? So I agree with that, but I'm about to get off with you. I just want you, if you got anything funny to say, is there any joke that you have in your arsenal that you might can say to us on tonight?
Any jokes that I have, I don't know how much of a joke it is, but shout out to everybody who's approaching the end of the school year, who's ready to take their kids on a family trip, and you may not have your life in order. Don't worry about that unregistered car. Just pack your stuff up on top of the roof anyway, and you get on down there. Hopefully you got some insurance. Because, see, I ain't have insurance on my car. And so the other day, when I was driving through Windsor Locks, and I got pulled over. And the officer said, ma'am, do you know that this car is unregistered? He said, ma'am, you didn't know this car was unregistered. I said, sir, I swear I didn't know. You know what? I can't believe that rat bastard. And I can't believe he put the registration out here. Mother. Officer said, ma'am, calm down. I'm going to let you go. But I'm taking the license plate off this car. I said, so you gonna let me go? He said, yeah, I'm gonna let you go. But not until I take these license plates off of this car. I said, no problem. So you want me to help you? I got a screwdriver. He said, no, I got it. So the officer went to the front and took off the license plate. He went on to the back and took off the back license plate. And he walked by my window and said, now, you don't get out of here until you don't see the back of my tail light. You got that? I said, cool. I'm going to sit right here in the car. Yeah, no problem. The officer walked to his car, and he got in. And he drove on down the street, and it was a little hill, so he started declining slowly. I no longer see the back of them taillights. I went back in my car, got two different plates, put them back on, and got up out that thing. That's my time, y'all. Thank you.
Thank you. And everyone, A-Plus Hollywood, will be back with us June 20th, I believe. So make sure you tune in. Girl, I thank you so much for coming on sharing your wisdom and your love.
Before I get out, you guys, May 29th, Hartford, Connecticut, there will be a comedy show going down by my guy, Mo Green, comedian Fig, Fat Williams, and Anthony out of Springfield, and I will be the host on that show. So May 29th, Vibes Uptown, Hartford, Connecticut, is going down, 7:30, doors open, y'all get there, we are going to have some fun, and y'all going to laugh y'all wigs off.
Okay, exactly. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And you have a really good night. And we'll be talking again.
Indeed. Have a good night. Blessings to everybody. Good evening. Thank you.
Bye-bye. There you have it. That was Wasan Jackson, who will be doing his comedy, hosting comedy down at the Metric in Bridgeport. That's every Wednesday at 9. And then A-Plus Hollywood just told you about the event taking place in Hartford on May 29th in Hartford. I think she said 7:30, but go back, rewind the show, listen, share it so that other people might, you know, want to listen or go to any of these events. You could check them out on Facebook. They have a Facebook page. They're up on social media if you want to connect. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I'm not sure if I read everybody on the list. However, I think I'm going to go to this side of the page. I think I read this already, but I'm just going to go over this one column to make sure I got everybody who has graced this show that I can remember. Mika Jean, Hope Flood, Howie Bell, JP Justice, Drew Frazier, Capone, Jay Alexander, Gerald Kelly, FSW, Janice Dempsey, A. Curtis Farrell, Riff, Keisha Rainey, Judith Seeley, Darren Cookie Moore, A. Curtis Farrell of the McDonald's Gospel Fest, my former producer, Rashawn Langley, Kiki West, Tiffany Tazelle, Omar Wilson, Phoenix Fire, Jay the Comedian, Misconduct, Ricky Allen Drawn, Jade Trini Goring, Coffee Goring, Deborah Williams, Nod of the Stylistics, and Midnight. And like I said, if I have not mentioned your name at any point, please just forgive me. And like I said, I cannot read 400 names or more, but just know that I appreciate everybody who has been a part in making this show successful and making this show grow and continue to listen. Like I said, go to my website. All that is up on the show page. If you want books, if you want art, please go to my website as well. If you would like to give a donation monetarily, God lays it on your heart, please go to my Cash App, which is cash.me/money#DITR. And I'm going to take us out with a little bit of, what haven't I played? I'm going to play Lila James, You're the One. Thank you, everybody. Good night. And tune back in. We're going to be doing two shows per month, and I'll try to keep that up as best as I can. God bless you.